Hi, I'm Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place for women in their second half of life to go to receive inspiration. If you are at a place where you believe your best days are behind you, it is my hope one of these episodes will spark you to think differently and lead you to a new belief that your second half may actually be your best half. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that the younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age or circumstances hold you back from the pursuit of a more fulfilling and fun life. The happier we are, the better the world will be. So instead of settling for what you don't want, how about going after what you do want? Listen in and let something you hear prompt you to take the first step in making the rest your best. Welcome to another Lessons Learned episode of Living Your Spark Second Half. This is the third of a four-part series I'm doing in this series of Lessons Learned episodes about the four agreements. And it's based on a book I read, and it was very amazing. I just wanted to share these four agreements. So if you haven't heard the first two, go ahead and back to those episodes, those previous episodes, and listen to those. Just so you know, the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. And the second agreement is don't take things personally. So the third agreement, which I'll be talking about today, is don't make assumptions. That you make them, because I know I do. And they can be very misleading, harmful, and cause us much suffering. And it's only our own fault. So we have a tendency to make assumptions about everything. And I'd like to ask you, can you think of a recent assumption, or even an assumption from a long time ago that you may have made that caused you harm or caused you grief or caused you to regret it, caused you to feel bad, caused a relationship to suffer badly? I'm sure you can think of one. But the problem about making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. We could swear that they are real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking, and we take it personally. Then we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word. And I talked about emotional poison in the other episodes. So if you want more about the context around that, certainly go listen to those. That's why whenever we make assumptions, we are asking for problems. We make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole drama for nothing. All of the drama and sadness in your life was rooted in making assumptions and taking things personally. You're probably making some kind of assumption as you're listening to this episode right now. We create a lot of emotional poison by making assumptions and taking things personally because we usually start gossiping about our assumptions. Remember, gossiping is the way we spread emotional poison to each other because we are afraid to ask for clarification. We make assumptions and we believe we are right about our assumptions. I have a story from my high school that I wanted to share because this is a great example, is that I heard through gossip that there was a girl who was after my boyfriend. And what I was told is that she approached my boyfriend and asked, and I don't know if it's a Sadie Hawkins dance or she was told somebody that she liked him. And they said, well, he has a girlfriend. And she was in like my larger circle of friends, not my close circle of friends. But the person said, hey, he's dating Lori. And it was kind of new in our relationship. We hadn't been dating very long. And so she said, well, are they girlfriend and boyfriend or just friends? Like, have they not really taken that next step in the relationship like spectrum? They're still at the early stages. In other words, I can come in now. They're not too tight yet. And so my assumption was then she's trying to steal my boyfriend. I never went to her to get clarification. I don't know if she had even communicated to him. I certainly didn't go to him to ask. So what happened is I just detached from her. I never got close with her. And we could have been friends, probably. If we like the same guy, we probably have the same similar likes and dislikes. And so, but she was in my larger circle, so it was kind of uncomfortable whenever she was around. And I made it uncomfortable because I had an assumption. And the funny thing is that I just recently went to my high school reunion and she's amazing. And I, because of an assumption, I probably had or didn't have a friend that I could have had in high school. And she's actually very funny. I think she's like on Facebook. I see her posts and she is one of the most entertaining people in terms of postings. And so I, you know, I'm like, gosh, she has a great personality and I missed out on this totally. So when I was thinking about the assumptions I've made, this one definitely came up as one that, gosh, I created my own emotional poison for myself. So we defend our assumptions and try to make someone else wrong, or we come to the wrong conclusion about someone. It is always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. The ego of the human mind creates a lot of chaos, and chaos causes us to misinterpret everything. We only see what we want to see or hear what we want to hear. We don't perceive things the way they actually are. We literally dream things up in our imaginations because we don't understand something. We make an assumption about the meaning, and when the truth comes out, the bubble of our dream pops, and we find out it's not what we thought it was at all. And the word dream is used here, but I would consider it a bad dream. You know, we all have bad dreams, nightmares. When we use the word dream, sometimes we think it's all like unicorns and rainbows, but no, these in this context of assumptions, dreams equal what we imagine. And in this particular dream, it's not a good dream that we usually conjure up, right? So the author gives an example of the situation where you might see a friend at the mall, and the friend, you know, you smile and the friend looks away, doesn't respond, and then walks in the other direction. So what various scenarios could your imagination come up with? You can imagine you'd be thinking, oh my gosh, she doesn't like me anymore. Or, oh my gosh, she's mad at me. What did I do wrong? And then you waste all this energy thinking about something that isn't even true. It's an assumption. We read into it whatever we want. So I have a fun little exercise that I thought was really related to making assumptions. It was an exercise that we did in a coaching call, and my coach presented this to us. So when I was reading this book and when I was preparing this episode or these episodes about the agreements, the four agreements, I was like, oh my gosh, this would be a great exercise to try out on my audience. So let's do it, right? So I'm going to say four statements, and it's about a situation, which I'll reveal at the end. But I want you, when you hear the statements, you're going to be making assumptions. And so this is what happens, right? So I want you to think about the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the statement. And as I make each statement, do new assumptions come up, or are you sticking with the same assumption you made at the beginning, or how is that assumption that you've made evolving and forming or being further established? So it's quite entertaining to this exercise, what we'll learn here. All right, so this is the first statement. And this was something, imagine you overhear a conversation. You hear a woman say, my husband betrayed me. So what comes up? What do you think when you hear that at the next table while you're sitting there drinking your coffee and you're listening to somebody and you can't help, you know, you're not like eavesdropping on purpose, right? And then she says to her friend, I'm so hurt. What are you thinking? What are you assuming is going on there? Then she says, no one has ever done this to me. And then lastly, I don't think I can ever trust him again. So what do you think? What comes up for you? I'll tell you, when I listened to this one, I thought he had cheated on her with another woman. And it got so much in depth. I'm just trying to remember the exercise, but it got a lot more detailed, and it made it sound like the guy was living a secret life. Like he like had another wife somewhere and had created another family. That's what I was coming up with in my head. And so it's so funny too, because our assumptions are often based on our lived experiences. So it's kind of what we know to be true or what's happened to us in the past. And since I have been cheated on in a relationship, that's where my mind went into the, like, you know, he had another lover kind of category or bucket. But betrayal can be different things, right? Betrayal can be several different things. Well, you're going to be so surprised when you hear how he betrayed her and how she can't trust him again. The truth of the matter was that her husband, because she had a propensity to spend or overspend on things and shop too much, he was very good with money, and he created a secret account and had collected upwards of $40,000 in the account. And she came to find out that he was secretly hiding money from her. And so she felt betrayed. She was hurt. Nobody had ever done it to her before. And she felt like she couldn't trust him again because he had lied to her, because he had withheld information. And to her, that was a lie. And so can you imagine like overhearing this conversation and you don't know the whole full story? So that was the gist of it. I thought it was a great example. But often we think we know what our partner wants. I mean, he was doing it because he was trying to help her. And he thought when she found out he had this money, she'd probably be so happy because she would probably have overspent and needed money when she found out about it. And so we just assume that our spouse will understand us so much and they'll do what we want, which in her case was probably give her money along the way and not save up, because they know us so well. And if they don't, we feel so hurt and say, you should have known. She's probably saying, you should have known I would have felt betrayed. You should have known this would hurt our relationship and how I could trust you. So we make an assumption and then we take it personally when it's our own poison we drank. Because as you can imagine, so many people in this exact situation would feel probably differently. And so because she's letting herself feel this way, and she's making assumptions about like why he did it when it's for her own good, and instead of like hiding it from her because she's a terrible person, but she's making an assumption about why he did it even. So we make assumptions about everything, especially in relationships, such as roles in our marriage. How many people really talk? I think today, nowadays, people do more of that. They live together more, so they work it out in advance. I don't know, but I think the divorce rate's still pretty high. But yeah, in my day, I mean, my ex-husband and I, we did not have a conversation about, so what role do you think a husband should play? What role do you think a wife should play? How do you believe, what do you believe about child rearing? How will you discipline children? We never even had a conversation about having kids, let alone, we got married very quickly. We dated only 8 months. So maybe that's part of it. We didn't have a lot of time to talk about that stuff. But yeah, how holidays are handled, like what's your game plan for different holidays? You're bringing in a whole different, sometimes cultures into the mix. But yeah, so we often go into a relationship with a lot of assumptions and without a lot of clarity, and that creates problems. It's so interesting how the human mind works. We have the need to justify everything, to explain and understand everything in order to feel safe. We have actually in our head rolling around millions of questions that need answers, because there are so many things that the reasoning mind cannot explain. And get this, I thought this was so profound. It is not important if the answer is correct. In our brain, it doesn't matter if it's correct. We just want the answer itself, because the answer makes us feel safe. So what do? We make up our own answers. That's all our brain needs. So this is why we make assumptions, and then we make assumptions on top of assumptions. Our assumption satisfies our need to know and replaces the need to communicate. Even if we hear something we don't understand, we make assumptions about what it means and we believe the assumptions. We make all the assumptions because we don't have the courage to ask questions. Have you ever noticed yourself doing this? I know that I've been guilty of this. Sitting in a room at an event, I know that I've sat back wondering something, and then somebody raises their hand and asks the question that I'm thinking of asking. And I think, oh my gosh, they're so brave. I can't believe they got up and asked that question. I'd be so embarrassed to ask that question. I literally can think about this in my head while this person's asking this question and being the brave one. And then I realize, listening and reading, I listened to this book on Audible, so I listened to the book, but then I realize, oh my gosh, yes, I'm afraid of getting clarity sometimes because I don't want to look stupid. So we make assumptions because we're just not brave enough to be the one to stand up and ask. I don't know if that's you, but I can definitely see that in myself. These assumptions are made so fast and unconsciously most of the time because we have agreements to communicate this way. And I think this is important to know that these four agreements would replace existing agreements. We've already made agreements. They're just not great agreements that we're living by. We have agreed, number one, that it's not safe to ask questions. Most of us who aren't abiding by these agreements have made an agreement that it's not safe to ask a question. We also abide by an agreement that if people love us, they should know what we want. That's also not a great agreement, right? And we also make the assumption that everyone sees life the way we do. We assume others think the way we think. We assume others feel the way we feel and judge the way we judge. This is the biggest assumption that humans make, and this is why we have a fear of not being ourselves around others, because we think everyone else will judge us, criticize us, blame us, as we do ourselves. We do all of those things to ourselves, and we are afraid that others are going to do that to us as well. So even before others have a chance to reject us, we've already rejected ourselves. That is the way the human mind works. We also make assumptions about ourselves. We overestimate or underestimate ourselves because we haven't taken the time to ask ourselves questions and to answer them. Perhaps you need to gather more facts about a particular situation, or maybe you need to stop lying to yourself about what you truly want. Often, when you go into a relationship with someone you like, you feel the need to justify why you like him or her. You only see what you want to see and deny there are things you don't like about that person. Then you make assumptions, and one of the assumptions is, my love will change this person. And I want to tell you about a personal experience again, because this was so true as it applies to this particular comment about you only see what you want to see and deny that there are things you don't like about that person. Is one of my college roommates, who I love dearly, had been through her first divorce, and she was dating someone new. And we didn't live in the same place, but I was visiting her, and I had an opportunity to meet this new guy she was dating and spend some time with him. And I did not like the guy. He was a know-it-all, and he just rubbed me the wrong way. And again, I'm probably making assumptions about him because I really don't know him the way she knows him, right? However, I saw some red flags. And so it's so funny because she asked me for my opinion. And the problem with asking for an opinion is you might get what you don't want to hear. But the problem with giving an opinion is you also want to be careful not to, because I knew she married him. I didn't want her to feel like, I didn't want to have a poor relationship with him. If they ended up getting together, I didn't want any word to get back to him that I didn't think much of him. So anyways, I just tried to be diplomatic. When she asked me what I thought of him, I said, well, I don't think he's your type. Do you think he's your type? So that was my way of not saying I don't like him, but maybe you could find better. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So her response was interesting. And it falls into what I'm saying is that you try to convince yourself you deny there's things that you don't like about that person because I know she saw them, and she will say now that she saw them. But her response to me was, well, Lori, I don't think I really have a type. So I never said another thing. You know, I knew that no matter what I said, she was going to do what she was going to do, and she was going to move forward. And maybe her thought was that whatever she didn't like about him, she would change. But unfortunately, you can't change another person. Your love will not change anybody. If others change, it's because they want to change, not because you can change them. Real love is accepting others the way they are without trying to change them. If we try to change them, it really means we don't like them. Find someone whom you don't have to change at all. It's much easier to find someone who is already the way you want him or her to be. Also, that person must love you the way you are, so he or she doesn't have to change you at all. We have to be what we are, so we don't have to present a false image. Just imagine the day when you stop making assumptions with your partner and with others in your life. The way you communicate will change completely, and your relationships will no longer suffer from conflicts and mistaken assumptions. To help you stop making assumptions, ask questions. Make your communication clear. If you don't understand, ask. Have the courage to ask questions until you are as clear as you can be. Even then, don't assume you know all there is to know about a given situation. Also, find your voice to ask for what you want. Everybody has the right to tell you yes or no, but you always have the right to ask. And likewise, everybody has the right to ask you, and you have the right to say yes or no. When you stop making assumptions, your word becomes impeccable. With clear communication, all of your relationships will change. This sounds so easy, right? Don't make assumptions. But doing it, like the other agreements, is not so easy. It's just the opposite. We have all these habits and routines we aren't even aware of. So becoming aware of these habits and the importance of this agreement is the first step. But just knowing the importance is not enough. What will really make the difference is action. Taking the action over and over again strengthens your will, nurtures this new seed, and establishes a solid foundation for the new habit to grow. This agreement is just right now a seed that's been planted, but you must take the action to employ it in your life. After many repetitions, these new habits will become second nature, and you will see how your words will transform you and your life. So next week, I'll be bringing you the fourth agreement and the final of the four-part series. Thank you so much for tuning into the Living Your Spark Second Half podcast. If you'd like to watch my guest interviews, you can find the video version of this podcast on my Not Your Average Grandma YouTube channel. Also, you can check out what I have going on at the moment by going to my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com or find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you like this episode, please mention it to a friend and don't forget to leave a review so I know the topics you like best and can bring you more of that content in upcoming episodes. Last but not least, remember to always listen to that inner voice that will never steer you wrong and make living from the most sparked place possible your biggest priority. When we do that, we make the world a better place.